Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. BiteClear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Fox 2 presents Hancock and Kelly.
Good Sunday morning to you. Welcome to Hancock and Kelly on Fox 2, where we take on the top issues of the week. On the right, John Hancock.
What a wonderful day.
On the left is Michael Kelly.
Happy Sunday.
And I'm Andy Banker. On the agenda this morning, Illinois' biggest county in the St. Louis area, Madison County, apparently no longer wants to be in the same state as Chicago. They vote to secede. Also, or at least sort of secede, disturbing surprises show up on the desk of members of the House of the Missouri Legislature. Dessert brownies, along with a note saying they contain dog feces. Donald Trump's so-called hush money trial has begun. Is it actually worse for him or President Biden? And our quote of the week is one that's worth sticking around for today, from a legend lost who always felt like one of us, no matter what your political stripes might be, Cardinals Hall of Fame manager Whitey Herzog. Also, is there a lesson for St. Louis as the debate roars about Kansas City maybe becoming a sanctuary city for migrants crossing the U.S. border with Mexico? And we'll begin with continued law and order debates in the city of St. Louis. The St. Louis Board of Aldermen addresses the reckless driving epidemic in the city, not by hiring more police officers, but by passing a new red light camera law and bracing for legal bills that are likely to follow.
The way that the legislation was written was in consultation with a number of attorneys, some who had even worked to override this previously, to make sure that we reached a bill that we felt like could be constitutionally upheld. I will not be naive to say that we probably will get sued along and over it again.
Because if you're out of town, somebody, you might have multiple people driving cars, so you're responsible for the car. I could be in Texas and my son could drive the car. Mm-hmm. How you gonna charge me for a light? A ticket because I own the car. I think it's a money grab. If the officer gets you, then you got, but not because of no light, because of no camera.
The camera is recording vehicles running red lights and then automatically send citations with fines to the vehicle owners in the mail. The Missouri Supreme Court struck down St. Louis's first red light camera program as unconstitutional in 2015. The new cameras will reportedly feature facial recognition to identify drivers. Now, Mayor Tashara Jones says she will sign the bill into law after she and fellow progressive Democrat, Aldermanic President Megan Green, who you just heard from, clashed in public frequently about how to best go about bringing back red light cameras. I want to start with Michael on this. Michael, first, the feud between the mayor and the president of the Board of Aldermen. We thought they were on the same team. Are they? And then are these cameras the answer to reckless driving in St. Louis?
Yeah, well, who knows on the cameras thing? To me, it feels like it could be a pebble in the ocean in terms of dealing with it. But I think we throw everything we got at it. Red light cameras being one of those things that needs to happen. They've got to have some type of law enforcement in the city. As for the feud that's going on between the mayor and the president of the Board of Aldermen, that's what happens when accountability comes in. So suddenly, both of them are having to answer for the fact that they've been there for 2 or 3 years and these are their policies that are being implemented and they are fighting with each other. I don't think it's going to be a productive upcoming legislative session, but I think that we will continue to see the mayor push back against Megan Green and the leftists on the board.
Do we need more police? I mean, the police department is looking at going from 8-hour to 11-hour shifts because they don't have enough police out there to cover the streets.
Well, I think it's a constant refrain here on Hancock and Kelly that we need more police. I mean, and it's not like we're asking for more police over what we typically have. We're asking them to staff up to their normal levels, and they continue to fight that. And this idea of always wanting to protect the criminal and forgetting about the citizen is confounding to me.
Your turn, John. I know you had to wait. That's not.
I love it when he talks like that. You know, these red light cameras aren't going to solve anything. It's a money grab is what it is. And the voter there was right, Percy.
Right.
If the cops get you, you're got. If the camera gets you, you're not. And you don't know who's driving that car. People that violate the law are going to continue to violate the law, and if they get a ticket in the mail, they're not going to pay it. And it's the people that will pay these things, they're law-abiding citizens that, oops, I did that. You know, here's $120, whatever it is. But it's a money grab. It's not going to stop the reckless driving. It's not going to make a dent in the crime problem. The crime problem is what needs to be addressed here, and it needs to be addressed with more police. Now, we've fixed largely the prosecutor's office, the circuit attorney's office. That's a good thing. But to fight crime, you need all three legs of that stool working in tandem, the police, the prosecution, the jail. You need all of that working together, and the city still hasn't figured all that out.
Little switch up here. We're going to talk about Kansas City, but it's of great interest here in St. Louis. The mayor there, Quentin Lucas, is accused of unilaterally making Kansas City a sanctuary city for migrants. He posted a message on social media saying migrants looking for work are welcome in KC and that he's proud to join the mayor of New York in that regard. Lucas is an ally of Mayor Jones in St. Louis. Missouri's lieutenant governor calls this idea insane.
There's a lot of cities we've seen get more creative. We talked about veterans going out to our veterans community who want to be retrained and want to get a job. We talked about inner city kids that want to go through a community college or a tech school that can get training. I believe there are ample amount of people who want to work in the Kansas City area, and that if he has resources to train somebody, let's train our own citizens who are paying those tax dollars.
Lucas has clarified that what he is saying is that if you've worked with the Department of Homeland Security and are lawfully present in the United States, he wants to make sure you find work in Kansas City. The city's budget is setting aside $1 million for short-term housing, health care, and job training programs for migrants. John, leaders of labor unions in KC say they need all the help they can get.
Well, look, the number of folks that have legal status because they've worked through the Department of Homeland Security, those folks that get here legally typically have jobs lined up. They've got places to stay. That's not addressing the problem of illegal border crossings, where we have tens of millions of people in this country illegally. And labor unions don't like that, because in a lot of places, those kinds of workers end up taking the jobs that otherwise would be union labor jobs. So this is kind of a moot debate where we're talking about folks that have Homeland Security status. There's not an issue there, really.
How do you see it? You know, and it's worth noting, you know, St. Louis has reached out trying to attract migrants, saying that's the only way we're going to grow our city.
Well, and that's the problem that most of the industrial Midwest, and for that matter, lots of the Mid-South face, is a loss of population. And we didn't see the influx of Latinos coming into this area that we saw going into others. I take Clinton Lucas at his word. I think he was trying to say, hey, look, we need to grow population. And if you're a legal migrant, come here to Kansas City. Come to St. Louis. I agree with them. I think that's a positive thing. I think it's been twisted for political purposes by the lieutenant governor wanting to make this a border issue. I don't think that's what Clinton Lucas was behind.
Right. He's running for governor, and the border is certainly a big hot-button political issue in the 2024 campaign. Missouri lawmakers have reported receiving unwanted treats in response to a heated issue of school choice. St. Charles County Republican State Rep Adam Schwadron of St. Charles County posted a photo of a brownie that he and others received, along with a note saying the treats contained a half teaspoon of dog poop. Lawmakers approved a bill to expand private school scholarships, with donors getting tax breaks, a victory for Republican school choice supporters. But the activist behind the brownies was apparently upset, not with Democrats, but with fellow Republicans and the concessions they made to win passage of the bill. Representative Schwadron says food tampering is no way to make a point. The incident has been reported to Capitol Police. John, how seriously should Capitol Police take this kind of thing in 2024?
Well, if you're putting a half a scoop of dog poop in your brownies, I wouldn't use that, that teaspoon again. Somebody's measuring this out, Andy. You know, the news here is that this is a major step in the right direction in terms of school choice for families in this state. And by offering a tax credit, they avert the problem of taxpayer funds going to private schools. It's the right way to do this. Every one of us pays taxes to support the public schools in this state, and that's great. But parents who want something other for their students, they deserve to have some relief here, and I'm glad to see they got it.
A head scratcher or something worse, Michael?
Well, the piece of legislation is exactly what the brownie looked like. It's a piece of that. It's a bad piece of legislation that ultimately will hurt local schools, particularly here in the St. Louis area. In terms of the behavior of some of these folks on the far right, these are the people who are making policy. They didn't think this went far enough, and this is the way they behave, and now we're going to let them be in charge of these school choice ideas where they can divert our money away from our own public schools?
What's the objective here? Is the objective here to force everybody into public schools and make sure that that's working, or is the objective to allow people to make the best education choices and educate their children? If you put the priority on the child in the classroom, then the parent needs to have as wide of a choice as possible.
The objective is to make sure that every kid has an equal opportunity to get a good education. And right now, by starving districts in North St. Louis, yeah, exactly, John. Would this legislature spend half the time that it spends on trying to give money to private schools that don't need it to fixing the schools that are broken down, we wouldn't have these issues.
We spend more money on public schools every year than we did the previous year, every single year. Money is not the issue. Freedom is the issue here, and opportunity is the issue here.
The Madison County Board in Edwardsville, Illinois, voted to let voters weigh in November on whether to secede from Chicago.
At the beginning of every meeting, we pledge allegiance to the United States of America. I urge some of my fellow board members, at least, to join me in voting against this resolution and for a United States of Illinois.
The Declaration of Independence says that government derives its just power by the consent of the people, and we are checking to see what the consent of the people is.
The vote approved a non-binding referendum asking voters if they favor forming a new state separate from the Chicago area. There is great distress and dissatisfaction in downstate Illinois under the leadership of Democrats in Springfield, especially Governor J.B. Pritzker. Ultimately, both the state legislature and Congress would have to approve the formation of a new state, Illinois 2.0, Michael.
Cuckoo. Sure, we're all upset. I live in Missouri, the most backward state in the country that the Republicans control. At the end of the day, this is one of the 50 states. This is what these people are wasting their time on. You know, the reality is I've been over that bridge, the Clark Bridge into Madison County. That bridge wouldn't exist if it wasn't for Chicago paying the taxes so that the people downstate had some money.
It's one of the largest counties in the state.
I'm glad to see anytime somebody quotes the Declaration of Independence myself, but maybe that's just me. What this underscores is that there is truly a divide between urban and rural, not just in Illinois, but in this country. And that divide has grown deeper, and it's not particularly healthy for us because we've got to sink or swim together as a country, as a state, as a city.
Well, it's pretty generalized, but outside of the Chicago area, if you take downstate Illinois, it's pretty much red in Trump country.
Yeah,
right. And outside of St. Louis and Kansas City, the same thing exists.
Missouri, right.
Hear more, listen to the podcast. Just search for Hancock and Kelly.
A jury has been seated in the criminal trial of former President Donald Trump in New York. He's complained that he is stuck in the courtroom in trial while President Joe Biden hits the trail in his reelection campaign. But Mr. Trump says maybe that's not such a bad thing.
And by the way, this trial that I have now, that's a Biden trial. They want to keep me off the campaign trail, but based on what I'm doing, I think there's more press here than there is if I went out to some nice location.
Mr. Trump is accused of making so-called hush money payments to a porn star over an alleged extramarital affair that he denies. Prosecutors maintain the payments were actually campaign expenses during his 2016 White House run, but that Mr. Trump illegally disguised those payments to keep the allegations and the whole story from becoming public. Michael, is this Trump trial good or bad for Joe Biden?
It has nothing to do with Joe Biden. But I get what you're saying, and that people are saying that Donald Trump's getting all the attention. That's probably one of the unintended consequences. But let's recap. Every night he's leading the news, and every hour he's leading the news. We're not arguing whether or not he paid a porn star. We're not arguing about whether or not he cheated on his wife. He even admits that. We're arguing about whether or not he did something illegal, and this is the head of the Republican Party. But being able to have that news for some way, in some sick, twisted way, fires up the Republican base.
But putting him on trial for it, is there a backfire brewing?
This case is a dog. You know, John Edwards did essentially the exact same thing, paying off his mistress who had a baby. He went to court by the federal government, was acquitted of campaign violations, which was at the core of this case. Rarely, if ever, do politicians get convicted of felonies for campaign finance violations. If Donald Trump did anything illegal here, and he did, if he booked payments to the porn star as legal expenses and then wrote that off on his taxes, that's a violation of the law. But those things are dealt with by paying a penalty, paying your proper taxes, and you're done. Making a criminal case out of this is wrong. I think he's most certainly at worst going to have a hung jury, if not a full-out acquittal here.
Now, we've had big news in just the past 24, 36 hours that we haven't seen a lot in recent years. House Republicans and Democrats actually come together to get something done, an aid package for Ukraine, Israel, and Taiwan. It could cost Republican House Speaker Mike Johnson his job as Speaker. The passage comes 6 months after President Biden asked for it. It's a $95.3 billion supplemental spending measure. The package includes more than $60 billion for Ukraine and its war against Russia, more than $26 billion for Israel. That includes humanitarian aid for Gaza, plus $8.1 billion for Taiwan and other Pacific allies, including the Philippines. The Senate expects to pass this early this week. John, what about stepping up for Ukraine and then the political fallout for Speaker Johnson and the likes of Republican Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's wanting to boost the second speaker in a single term over this?
Well, first, I hope it's not too late for the Ukraine aid. What Ukraine is doing by defending its democratic border against an invading authoritarian government is very important for Western democracy. And they are destabilizing the Russian military assets over there. That's very helpful for the United States' national interests. So I hope it came soon enough. And in terms of Mike Johnson and whether he survives as speaker, I suspect he does. Might there be an effort to remove him? Could be, but I don't think Marjorie Taylor Greene's going to meet with success here.
Is this a big smackback for Marjorie Taylor Greene and company in the House?
Well, we finally get to see rational people go and vote. And we see there is a growing contingent of these folks, both in the Republican and there's some in the Democratic Party, that are out there on some issues, whether they don't support Israel or they don't support Ukraine. We've got to continue to keep an eye on these folks. But right now we have a cohesive group of folks who can pass rational stuff. Let's just hope that they can continue to get rational stuff put in front of them.
Still to come, the effort to reinstate abortion rights in Missouri may get a boost from Missouri Catholics. And our quote of the week from the White Rat. With Missouri lawmakers talking about the continued defunding of abortion provider Planned Parenthood, that's not the video we wanted to see. That's the Secretary of Homeland Security. A campaign finance report for the first 3 months of the year shows the group Missourians for Constitutional Freedom has nearly met its goal of raising $5 million in support of a ballot measure to legalize abortion up to the point of fetal viability, around 24 weeks of pregnancy. A total abortion ban went into effect in Missouri when the U.S. Supreme Court overturned Roe versus Wade in 2022. A new report from the Pew Research Center suggests strong support among Catholics, even though the church remains steadfastly against abortion rights. The report shows 61% of Catholics surveyed favor abortion rights, 39% in most cases, 22% in all cases. You're a pollster, Michael. What does this say to you?
It's the same type of numbers we've seen even prior to this. It only is getting stronger. This is going to be the number one issue in the upcoming elections.
In Missouri?
Yes, in Missouri and across the country.
Abortion rights will be reinstated in Missouri, you believe?
Yes, sir.
John?
Well, I think they'll win the ballot measure.
Surprise you with the Catholic support.
Well, so, you know, the
church has always been steadfast.
The whole thing with religion, if you take the subset of Catholics that are regular attenders of Mass, it's a different set of numbers. But it's not going to be the issue in the election, but it's going to be a factor in the election.
Now to our quote of the week. If you're old enough, you'll have an answer to this question. Where were you in 82? When the Cardinals won their first World Series in 15 years, manager Whitey Herzog and owner Gussie Bush, who also owned Anheuser-Busch, were making hay then. Whitey grew up a Cardinal fan in nearby New Athens, Illinois. He made the big leagues, and then he became a Hall of Fame manager, authoring a style of play known in St. Louis as Whitey Ball, perfect for this town. He died this past week at age 92. Our quote of the week is something he said just before he was inducted into the Baseball Hall of Fame. He talked about getting to wear that red jacket for the Cardinals. He said, I can put that red coat on and feel at home. I think that's the biggest thing getting into the Hall of Fame means to me, representing the St. Louis Cardinals. He was always one of us, John Hancock.
He changed the game, and he changed the trajectory of St. Louis Cardinal baseball. I'll miss him.
And he just loved everything about the Cardinals. He never left. I mean, he had other jobs after, but he...
There will never be another manager like him. He's burned into my brain.
I played ball as a little boy in New Athens, Illinois myself. Final thoughts are next. Bomberito.com Drone Fox, though, right here. The I Heart St. Louis sign at the Missouri History Museum in Forest Park. You know, Whitey seemed to make us feel that way, didn't he?